Welcome to the Square Peg Show. I'm Mike.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Jill.
And I'm Dee.
And we're doing something a little bit different this week. It's a social issues episode of the podcast. We're going to talk about women in media. We're going to try to make it more entertaining than it sounds when it comes to like social issues. You know, it won't be like a college course. It'll be a little bit different than that. But well, hopefully you'll be interested, listeners, and conversations about comics, TV, and movies, how they have portrayed women and girls throughout, you know, since they first started. Well, you know, we can't be too wide-ranging.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully you guys will be interested in this topic, and we're going to go ahead and get started. There was one topic that I wanted to start with is underrepresentation of women in the media. There's a report that came out that we'll link to on the website. It said, comparing the years 2002, 2011, and 2013, they were all pretty much the same, that when it came to protagonists, males were the protagonists 84%, 89% of the time.
Holy crap.
85%. Women, you know, 16, 11, that's how little women are really represented when it comes to movies.
Right.
So it's pretty shocking. I mean, one example I could give is often they're like an object. Like, I always think of Mario Brothers, really, when it comes to like the princess and
it's
all
always
that.
The damsel in distress.
Yeah, the damsel in distress, that happens pretty often. But, you know, and then, you know, Hollywood people will say that, well, it's because those movies don't sell. But I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because when you actually do have a good story with a female protagonist, it does just as well, I think. So,
you know, I always think about Aliens because to me that's one of my favorite female protagonists in any series that I've ever seen. Ellen Ripley was just a badass, like even more so than like Sarah Connor, I think. But I will watch the ending sequence for Aliens like over and over and over because she is just so badass in that whole thing. So yeah, I can totally see that's bullshit to me.
And that's cited as one of the earliest movies to use a female protagonist in like the action star role.
Right.
So that was like a groundbreaking movie. I think of Hunger Games now.
Yeah.
A huge popular movie that lots of women and men are going to see, and everyone buys into this strong female character.
Mm.
And there's an audience there as well. When it comes, I mean, we're talking about what they call genre stuff now, like fantasy, sci-fi, blah. Mm. But, you know, comic book conventions, if you see the attendance nowadays, 40%, I think they said at New York Comic Con, last October, of women.
Female,
yeah. So they like genre.
40%, thank God.
Yeah, it's getting better. Now, it doesn't mean I don't think the entertainment is catching up with the audience. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while. But I'm surprised that...
That's almost one female nerd for every male nerd. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That means
it is almost not a sausage fest anymore.
Why you got to say that?
I like sausage. But anyway, another situation was an old NES game called Metroid. And in the game, you played this very ambiguous person in a full suit of armor who's running around. And it's very Aliens-esque. And I want to bring that up real quick because of that. But once you get to the end of the game, you find out that the character Samus was actually a female. She takes her helmet off. And, you know, she's got this big wavy hair and such. That was like a big deal back then, a big, big deal.
I'm sorry, that was a chick?
That was a chick.
Wow, you just blew
See?
My mind, man.
Mind blown, that's what I'm saying.
20 years late.
And actresses in Hollywood will often complain that the roles that are written for them are so much more boring than the roles written for men. So I think it's frustrating because, you know, women have become more equal in society with the right to vote. But the point is, you know, equality is happening more in the real world now, but not so much
in media.
For entertainment, yeah.
I want to bring up another actress that I think is great, and she's actually starting to get a lot of her own, like, she's like the headliner stuff, is like Ellen Page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ellen Page is, I mean, she's even, like, in video games, she was cast as a role, and, you know, the character that she played looked exactly like her, but she's acting through the whole thing. Or, what was the other movie? Whip It.
Whip It, yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Dee, did you hear that Ellen Page will star as Tara Chase for the Queen and Country movie?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dee and I are fans of the work of Greg Rucka, so that'll be interesting. Ellen Page is a little petite. Sometimes it seems like they have a petite girl, a woman.
Yeah, she seems like a girl, but she's definitely
Sometimes Dee, if you want to speak to a little bit more of Rucka, because one book we've been enjoying is Lazarus, where they have a more built woman. She's a badass, you know, action kind of star, and she's not like a little old thing like Jennifer Lawrence or something. So I don't know, I kind of like that some more. But Dee, did you want to speak to any of the Greg Rucka issues?
Oh yeah, Lazarus is a great story about a girl named Forever. I don't want to go too much into it because that'll ruin it for everybody, but she's a strong character written for, I guess you could say, women. I've been trying to get my sister into it and Jill. Jill, how far have you gotten into it?
I just read the first issue and okay. Then didn't get any further.
Well, the whole thing is like it's set in this like dystopian future with the economic situation crazy. And Dia's right. Like when you have more good women characters in the story, it's more appealing to women readers. But I think it's appealing to male readers. I mean, like everybody wants to see like a more well-rounded, whether it's racial or gender or anything, like a better rounded cast. You know, so I think it appeals. I mean, A Saga by Brian Vaughn is another comic book I think that has a huge female readership because. First of all, it's not just all one type of woman. You want to see like sexy women or shy women or, you know, all different types of personalities, just like you see with men, you know? Right. So.
Well, I like to see the female character who, you know, who is what she has to be to do whatever she has to do. Because, you know, when you're just thrown into one role and it's like either the damsel in distress or that shy girl or, you know, usually when you're looking at a character in a story, we're talking about a transformation of some kind.
Right.
Where they go from what they were to whatever they have to be to get their job done.
Like some kind of growth.
Exactly.
I also wanted to make sure I said that she's not like a girly girl. She beats ass. She will take a sword or a gun, and she will do what she has to do.
Well, in the Game of Thrones podcast that we recorded a few weeks ago that I highly recommend everybody listen to, Jill and Jesse and I discussed the same thing. They have a girly girl character, Sansa, but they have a wide variety of other types of female characters, too. Jill, do you want to speak to any of that?
Yeah, so I think Game of Thrones, and you know, this is a huge, like, amazing thing that George R. R. Martin has done as a man, being able to write so many different types of females, but also or characters, but also so many different types of female characters who are all strong in very different ways. And I think that's fascinating. And we talked about Sansa as being kind of representative of a survivor who has to do whatever she has to do and tell whatever lies and you know, flatter whoever she has to stay alive. And so that's one thing that's interesting about her character. And then on the other side, we have Arya, who is like a little warrior and a badass already at, you know, 10 years old.
Right.
And then you have characters, you know, like Catelyn, who is more like intellectually and emotionally strong. So we don't see Catelyn fight any battles, but she thinks all of her children are dead and she's still going. You know, she's still taking the deaths of you know, everyone she cares about. And still until the very end, she's standing up and fighting. And
it just fuels her.
Yeah, exactly. And whereas, you know, lots of female characters, if this were, you know, several years ago, would have just fallen apart and it would have been up to the man to do things. But yeah, Catelyn is a very strong, emotionally strong character. And then there's other characters, you know, we see Daenerys, who, again, is not physically strong, but is strategizing and building an army around her. There's other smaller characters, like her name is Asha in the book, but Yara is what they call her in the show. Mm-hmm. And she is Theon Greyjoy's older sister, and she's an actual warrior, too. She's leading an army. She's out there with her sword. And then finally, I wanted to talk about Cersei. And I know Dwayne hates Cersei, but I want to defend Cersei because Cersei is what happens when you don't allow a woman to come into her own, basically. And this is done fairly well in the show, but even better in the books, where Cersei and Jaime are twins, but Jaime gets everything because he's a boy. And, like, she talks about this a lot. There's some really fascinating flashbacks in the book that talk about moments where she wanted something and her father wouldn't let her have it because she was a girl. You know, there's a scene in the most recent book where she's thinking about when they were children at Casterly Rock and there were lions kept in cages and they're daring each other to touch the lions. And Cersei does it. She sticks her hand through the bars and she lets the lion lick her hand. And then she dares Jaime to do it. And he won't do it. And she says, I should have had the sword. I should have been the one who got to run things because I'm braver and stronger than Jaime.
That's awesome.
And it's true, but again, because she was a woman, she had to wear the dress. She had to get married off, even though mentally she's stronger and braver than Jamie, and that's what has driven her crazy, I think, and that's why she's become such a horrible bitch. It's because she's been denied all the things that should be hers but can't be hers because right. She's a woman.
That adds a great perspective that really you can't get in the show because it talks so much about their childhood, I would reckon, and you know what the inner thoughts are. That's great. I love that.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things I wanted to bring up was, and they're talking about this right now, and that's casting a Wonder Woman movie. And my wife's a huge Wonder Woman fan, and I don't think that we've been able to see anyone in Hollywood so far that would even look the part as far as I or her are concerned.
I'm so glad the TV show failed from a couple years ago.
Because that made her into such a girly girl.
It did. It was written by David E. Kelley. If you ever watch Ally McBeal, it's basically, oh, look at how funny women are as a professional lawyer. Yeah. And that's the tone they used for Wonder Woman. When if you read the comic book, she's a badass Amazon. Yeah. You know.
So you know, in a little bit of research she started doing, I think the only one that she was able to come across that she liked, I cannot remember her name, but I will link her in the description. But she's actually a female UFC fighter. And that was something else.
Gina Carano.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, she is bad, and she looks the part, man. Like, she looks like a Wonder Woman. But, you know, I want to talk about that for a second. I mean, have you guys seen any female cage fighters or any cage fights, for that matter?
Actually, Jill, you remember a show we used to watch, Fight Girls?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the, one of the trainers.
I thought the name sounded familiar. Mm-hmm.
They have to act. They have to be able to act too.
Yeah.
You can have a background UFC as an actress.
But. Absolutely. But listen, if Dwayne Johnson can play in anything, then she could pull it off. I'm almost sure.
Possibly.
You know what? I would probably like the strong, silent type out of a Wonder Woman anyway, so that's okay.
Yeah, when Jill was going through Game of Thrones, another note I had that I was thinking to myself is she didn't even list all the awesome female characters on the show. And that's how many great...
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, any other shows or topics you guys want to get into?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Anybody a Walking Dead fan?
Yes.
Yes.
There's a character called Michonne.
Yes,
yeah.
Michonne.
Who has a sword. Awesome. Jill made me think about that when she said women and swords.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is an awesome character. Does what she has to do. I don't know if any of you in America have seen this show, but it's about a future where zombies take over. And she's swinging a sword, doing what she has to do.
It was actually really interesting because one of the key elements of that character, especially when you first meet her, is that she figured out pretty early on that if she kept a couple of zombies around her all the time, that because the zombies apparently work a lot on smell, so if they can't smell her over the two zombies that she has with her, then she's able to pretty much walk freely, or as freely as she can. So she hacks off their arms so that they can't grab her. She cuts off their bottom jaw so they can't bite her, and then just put them on chains around their necks and drag them around.
That's a smart thing to do.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
In the current, the last season that just ended was she. You could tell that she was, because she was with the group for a while, and then everyone got separated, and she started to really fall back into that. That loner phase, and you know she was just gonna grab a couple new zombies and just head on somewhere else and stop caring so much. But they made her a lot deeper because she was able to turn around and do something about the things that really meant something to her.
America, watch the show. Jesse completely undersold how she does it. It's just that one part showing how she falls back into that. I'm not gonna ruin it for you. Just watch the show, man.
I don't want to say that badass equals good female character either, because sometimes a good female character is, as long as it's different, as long as it's not the same old shit that we've been seeing for years and years when it comes to women and girls.
Right, and that's what I like about Michonne is that, I mean, at first all she was just kind of an attack dog, but the more she's on the show, the deeper they got her, and you know they were able to do a lot of cool things with just this character. And you know, she is, as far as I'm concerned, she's one of the cooler female characters that I have on television.
Yeah, I actually agree with you a lot on that. She's a very complex character, but you don't catch that when you first see her.
It's subtle.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys want to talk about any other shows or books or movies?
I wanted to bring up, even though it didn't last very long, it was wildly popular, Firefly, which, you know...
Wahoo! Which has been mentioned on the show before. I think anybody listening to this has heard of Firefly, yeah. Walking Dead, so we're good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cult kind of underground show that lots of people love, and I just think it had another interesting array of characters where there were four main female characters, and they were all strong and fascinating in their own ways. And so, for example, Zoe was, she was the big Amazon badass who, like, literally, you look at her and you believe she could beat up these men that she's actually beating up. So she kind of represented the physically strong woman. But then you had Inara, who was like using sex as a weapon, and the way that she was like using her feminine wiles, basically, which lots of women have had to do through, right, you know, through history to get what they need. and then Kaylee is the mechanic. You know, again, she's not physically strong, and she's kind of cute and bumbling, but she knows how to fix things. So she's smart and skilled. And then you have Summer, who it's hard to talk about for me because she's one way in the show and then she's something completely different in the movie Serenity that came out. Mm. But, you know, in the show, she's crazy, but she's crazy because she's brilliant and she's had, you know, these tests done on her that have kind of made her crazy. And then in the movie, she's actually physically strong and can kick ass.
They started getting into that a little bit on the show when they were breaking into the Russian guy. When they were breaking into that facility, she came out with a gun and was able to shoot about four guys without looking at them. Mm-hmm. So I think it was such a drastic difference because they weren't able to get into season two. I think that that they would have done a lot more with her to kind of push toward that person that we saw in the movie, and that's why it was so drastically different, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I really like this show and Game of Thrones and shows where we don't get what I think Mike was talking about earlier, that same badass female stereotype, which I always think of Buffy because she was kind of the first.
Right.
But it was like Buffy came out and then there were all of these other things that were just, oh, I'm this cute, tiny little girl, but I'm kicking ass. And it's not believable. And it's like, okay, we've seen this over and over again.
Right.
And I've read some articles about how it's kind of insulting to act like women either have to be damsels or they have to find some magic way to be strong, like physically strong, that you can't be strong in other ways. And I right. like that shows and movies now are showing that women don't have to have giant muscles and be able to kick ass. They can be faster, smarter, you know, they can be pilots, they can be great with weapons, they can be emotionally strong. There are like lots of other ways to be strong. And to be a strong, powerful woman and not fall into one of those stereotypes.
And speaking of that, different types of women, I wanted to take a detour into comic books real quick. When it comes to the DC Universe, there's this character, Amanda Waller. And
preach.
This is such an interesting take for a character, is that she looks at all these people with superpowers and says, we need to regulate them. We need, or how do we know they're good? We need to imprison them. We need, you know, the government needs to take action. So even though you could argue she's a bad guy because sometimes a writer will do that, she had like noble intentions. She's trying to protect her homeland. And, you know, this great character has been around for decades. Then what was it, like three or four years ago, they relaunched the whole universe as the New 52. That's what right? And then the first issue of Suicide Squad, one of the books, had Amanda Waller come back, and she's like, oh, I forgot to mention, she's typically a very heavyset woman, and that's why they call her the Wall.
Right.
Because she's like, get shit done, you know? Yeah. And when they come back, she's all sexified. Aww. And it was such a, like, other than the Blob, are there any heavy, let's just talk about heavy, as a fat person, I want to talk about this. As heavyset people in comic books, there's hardly any. And the fact that Amanda Waller looked different, it was kind of like part of her character, I thought. And then they want to sexify. I think when the New 52 came out, it's like really regressive, I thought, for a lot of women stuff. So I'm, you know, thumbs down.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a cool thing to talk about. I mean, we've spent a little bit of time here talking about how Hollywood's been doing it right. And what's the worst example that you can think of in women in media and how they kind of were crapped on?
Well, there's one thing I wanted to recommend for the listeners and for you guys as well. I watched this thing on PBS called America in Primetime. It was the history of, like, you know, one was about misfits, one was about the Crusaders, like cops and stuff. Mm. One was about men and one was about women. And when it came to the women episode, they started all the way back with I Love Lucy. And she was kind of like the original feminist on TV because she was always trying to get – she was a housewife that wanted to do amazing things, you know? But it was
– Brought Star Trek back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You're right. But as a sign of the times, it got really ugly because Ricky would say, Lucy, if you keep acting like a child, I'm going to treat you like a child. Right. And he would bend her over and spank her. And that's creepy, man. It is creepy to see a woman treated like a child. Yes. And that was just taken. That's one of the most popular TV shows ever.
Yeah.
So if you want to say a negative portrayal when you got this strong woman like Lucy, I would say that.
You know? Yeah.
I'm sorry. That actually happened on TV.
That happened, man. It was 1950s.
Yep. Actually,
so, it was fresh in my mind because I'd just seen the documentary. So.
And they would do a lot of that kind of stuff back then because even the honeymooners, he would constantly threaten his wife with physical abuse.
Yeah.
And you know, it's weird to say now because back then it was Jackie Gleason and it was a comic thing. I'm going to sock you to the moon or, you know, whatever. But it was like all the time. That was his catchphrase was, I'm going to punch you in the mouth is pretty much what he was saying all the time.
Yeah. One of these days, Alice.
Yeah. To the moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, more recent ones, you know, you said that, and the thing that sprung to my mind is Twilight, mm-hmm. which is just, I'm this, you know, tiny little girl, and I need someone to come save me all the time, and I'm always getting into trouble, and people are constantly trying to kill me, you know, like, it's, you know, like, that's what I think of, but then, you know, superhero movies are just as bad.
Yes, they are.
You know, I really hated Mary Jane in the last installments of the Spider-Man movie. I hated that her character was nothing more than a victim.
She was a plot device.
I'm the pretty girl. Yeah, I'm the pretty girl, and I'm just going to stumble into trouble, and you're going to have to come save me all the time, and that's all I'm ever going to do.
Yep.
Mary Jane's a crap character. I'll say it right now. She is. Yeah.
Oh.
Lois Lane, on the other hand, she's pretty awesome,
I think.
But anyway, that's a whole other, that's going to be a 10-minute thing right there. We'll get into that some other time. But I do think Mary Jane is just, I mean, she doesn't have much personality. She's kind of like the model.
Well, not anymore. I mean, when she was first introduced, she had nothing but personality. And, I mean, you know, back then, I think both of the female characters, Gwen and Mary Jane, had something going for them. But now, that's all it is. They only serve that purpose, is to get into some shit and have Spider-Man come and save them. You know,
Spider-Man is not saving, like, dudes he knows. It's always women.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of funny, though.
How about you, D? What's the worst example of a female character you can think of?
Whenever you mentioned that question, the only thing I could think of were the bad reality TV shows that are on.
Yeah, but they're, like, really bad because it's real. We're talking about Honey Boo Boo as mom? Is that what we're talking about?
You can talk about that. I could say anything on E right now.
Seriously, like Sister Wives is one of the worst things on the planet. And
the Learning Channel, right?
What was the other one? It's like a New Jersey Medium or something ridiculous like this. I don't... Oh, God.
The Real Housewives of blah, blah, blah are pretty bad, too. So.
But see, this
America, I did not say that. That was all this.
Whatever, we'll say it. I don't care. That's the worst crap I've ever seen. This is a whole bunch of rich women who try and use other people's talents to call their own product. Like, I'm going to make my own clothing line. Now I'm going to throw money at you to design these clothings, and I'll tell you if it's good or not. That's the whole show.
I know there's a couple of good reality TV shows out there, but the main, it's basically, you know.
Survivor Man is like the only one.
When it, you know, they're all playing not necessarily to a script, but they know what to do. They're going to go to that restaurant so they can throw the table at somebody, you know.
You guys watch any of this crap?
No. I mean, I'm familiar with it, but I don't, like, sit and watch it.
I love Mike's line, the Real Housewives of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's,
like, five of them.
I ain't going to lie. I watch the Real Housewives.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm a real man.
You belong back in the 50s. All right.
Now that we're going to come to blows, let's shut the show down here. But anyway, that was a great conversation, guys. Thanks so much. And Jesse has a few more words to say about where you can find us.
Hey, guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.